Good evening and welcome to Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. Later on, Building Bridges, unprecedented, the Florida election debacle and things to come.
Well, we are going to continue with our expression and our interest in cinematography, good, important documentaries that have managed to break through the media curtain. Joan Seckler and Richard Ray Perez. And it is a pleasure to have you on our airwaves.
Oh, hi, Mimi. How are you? And hi, Ken.
Oh,
hi.
It's so nice to have you. How did you do it? We really have been on a theme about how films like this of such extraordinary significance and quality manage to break through this media curtain that has given us such inane products or such distortive or even subversive right-wing propaganda. This film is important. How was it done?
Well, basically, we decided to collaborate together to be co-directors and co-producers right after George Bush was inaugurated on January 20th, 2002. And we worked on this documentary on our own with our own money until we finally ran out. And we were just very committed to finding out what happened in Florida, why there was such anger, why were people carrying signs on Inauguration Day saying illegitimate president, and we wanted to investigate exactly what happened. And it's with the help of investigative reporters like Greg Palast, who did find out some of the more egregious things that took place, that we were able to make our documentary. And after 6 months, when we ran out of money, we were fortunate enough to find several Hollywood producers, namely Robert Greenwald and Earl Katz, who really wanted to help us finish this film. Robert Greenwald gave us a free edit facility for a year, and Earl Katz raised a large amount of money so that we could finish our film, which was completed in August of 2002. So we're very grateful to all the people who helped us, and we both of us worked really hard and were startled at what we found.
I think the reason, as you suggested, why it managed to break through was that we were very careful to focus only on verifiable facts and to stay away from conjecture, from hearsay, and from anecdotal evidence. So everything in the documentary is substantiated by, like I said, facts, and it's hard to refute what we say in the documentary. I think that's why it really has gotten the attention that it has, that we approached it with sort of the journalistic integrity that the subject demanded.
Joan, if you were to try to say to somebody why they should take a look at this documentary now about the 2000 election in the context of the 2004 election, what would you say?
Well, some of the egregious things that took place in 2000 are coming up again in different forms. For example, Richard and I both went and updated our documentary to include the issue of touchscreen voting machines, which are now replacing punch card machines in many states, including Florida. And so a lot of the issues that we raise, the formation of a felon list to scrub people, particularly African Americans, from the rolls, that raised its ugly head again in Florida when they attempted to try to make another computerized list again. And fortunately, there was enough pressure for Jeb Bush to withdraw it. Okay? Now it's the issue of the touchscreen voting machines. And in fact, the Florida Division of Elections just came out with a report this past week where they investigated the gubernatorial election when Jeb Bush won again in 2002. And they found out that with the new touchscreen machines, there was a higher error rate, three times higher than the optical scan machines, which are currently being used in some counties, which were used in 2000 and which were very accurate. They're paper ballots that you fill out with a number two pencil, and then you slide it into a machine so that you have a paper record. So the whole issue of the right to vote and to have our vote counted, it hasn't gone away. We're still faced with all these tremendous problems. The ACLU has sued to try to get all these touchscreen voting machines to have a paper receipt. So nothing has changed. There's still these same problems, and we think it's really important for people to not only get out the vote, but to register, to work in the polls, to volunteer as a poll worker, to observe everything that's going on. I just think more people have to be involved now than ever before.
And we picked a clip from the film, Unprecedented, to whet your appetite even further, because this should be part of your library in order to create the movement for fair elections in this country.
So we're doing, apart from the original film, which talks about the Florida elections in 2000, and later on we're going to talk about touchscreen voting.
And here we go.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I, George Walker Bush, do solemnly swear on this stunning situation in Florida, where the Secretary of State says only 629 votes, 629 votes, separate.
Reasonable certainty. Punch in the mic.
I am furious. They give me a ballot that's illegal. They put it on a machine that doesn't work.
What is at stake is the integrity of our democracy, making sure that the will of the American people.
Many people probably voted for Buchanan, meaning to vote for Gore.
What happens? Do we go to jail? Because I'm willing to go to jail.
No, I just felt it.
Was mass confusion. At 7 o'clock when the polls opened, we knew that there was a problem because people were walking out of the polls distraught, calling their husbands, calling their wives, telling them to be careful.
I'm a veteran from 1942, Marine, Purple Heart. I'm entitled to my vote. They're just taking it away from me.
Statewide, we had complaints of everything from police intimidation, police threatening people with tickets for loitering who happen to be standing in line. We've had reports of people being required to produce multiple pieces of identification when they have a valid voter registration card. There's no such requirement under Florida law.
On Election Day, I got calls from a lot of people who complained that they had gone to vote and that the local precinct didn't have their name on the list.
They said, I don't have my name there. Why my name is not there? So they sent me to see a clerk.
There were no bilingual pollers. There were no bilingual translators. There was no one there.
You know, the story of the 2000 presidential election is a multifaceted story that has to do with decision-making at a lot of different levels and inconsistencies in policies and in voting systems and technologies.
But the story of the 2000 presidential election started long before Election Day.
Told Bush did not expect to be campaigning in Florida this hard, this late. After all, brother Jeb is the popular governor here.
I told my brother that we were going to carry Florida for him. Is that going to be a truthful statement? It better be.
Jeb Bush, first man.
Well, there's so much more to see, but one of the things that I find most interesting about Unprecedented is the way the message gets across. It is totally fascinating, exciting cinematography. The images are wonderful. It is historically contextualized in terms of the vote. And Richard, I was interested in your speaking a little bit more about the documentary, the art of film and communication on issues that on their face might seem a bit dry. And there is nothing at all about being dry in this film. It is a completely stimulating piece from start to finish.
Well, one of the challenges we had in making the film is exactly that, telling the story in an interesting way. And inherently, you know, we have the power of reality. That's the sort of realm that we're working in. So the material itself is powerful. We had to figure out a way to structure it so that we got the facts across to the viewer, because that is, you know, the most important thing when dealing with this particular subject, is that the facts are indisputable. And then secondly, structuring it in a narrative way that makes it interesting and engaging to the viewer. That was probably the biggest challenge. You know, it was a very complicated story, the Florida election. There were many, many problems, many layers, a lot of things happening at the same time. So I would say the biggest challenge making this film, telling the story, was deconstructing that complicated story and reconstructing it and reassembling it in a coherent way that's both interesting, engaging, and entertaining. And we did that with a lot of help from our editor, Bill Hoggs. He's a talented editor. And Joan and I were just really just so devoted to making sure we hit that right combination of engaging storytelling and loyalty to the facts to tell this story. I think we're very proud of the work that we've done. I think people are going to be surprised to find out how interesting this story actually is, that it's not dry facts. It's not like watching CNN for an hour any other news outlet, but that it really is an engaging story. So we really want to encourage people to see it and to just see how engaging facts and politics can be. And it's not always, we don't always have to look at it in terms of the sort of mud wrestling matches we see in the mainstream media, but that we can look at it more as the drama of history playing out. And I think that's what we did fairly well in this documentary.
Joan, I think that people have different fragments of the Florida race of 2000 in their mind, but it isn't really anything that sort of comes together. And this film really brings it all together, from those famous chads to the disenfranchisement of large segments of the African-American community. How did you pull all these different segments together?
Well, first of all, when we read through all the newspaper articles in Florida, the Miami Herald, I mean, just every one of the major newspapers, we read through everything. And we also read through a book that was a compilation of all the articles that were in the New York Times from beginning to end throughout the 36 days. And it's very interesting because the majority of the mainstream media focused on the chads and the butterfly ballots and the confusion, and some of them even mocking some of the voters who had made mistakes and double punched and everything else. There was also a discussion and focus on all the lawsuits and, of course, what happened during the Supreme Court. But what the mainstream media left out was the information that we found out, which was the disenfranchisement of thousands of people, many African Americans, which occurred before November 7, 2000. And we think that was a very fascinating story. And, you know, if it wasn't for Greg Palast and other investigative journalists who gave us this information, we wouldn't have been able to have it from we wouldn't have been able to find it from the mainstream media. And then the second thing is that we decided to make this a chronological story. So we gave the backstory of what happened and how people's names were scrubbed from the rolls before November 7th. Then we went into what happened on Election Day and then what happened subsequently in the 36-day war between the Republicans and Democrats to try to gain the most votes for their candidates so that they would get the 25 Electoral College votes. And finally, in the end, we went into the whole background of the Supreme Court. We were, again, very fortunate in finding investigative journalists and writers who gave us a lot of information about the background of the Supreme Court and how biased they were from the very beginning. And then after that was a discussion about the mistakes that we pointed out that the Democrats had made throughout this whole process.
Rich.
And so we chronologically gave the story, and it took a lot of work, but we thought it was important to do that.
Richard, I'm also most interested in, this is for me a story of the Florida elections and things that we need to guard against in the future, but it's a story of immigrants. It's a story of the abuse of process and due process, and similarly, what happens in communities of color, the process, the continuing historic process of disenfranchisement. And I was, am I right? Is this very much a strategic part of what this film is all about?
Well, it's a big part of it. What we discovered, first, one of the surprising things we discovered is that this country routinely conducts very sloppy elections and has a tolerance for sloppy elections. And that was most surprising. And I, when we start talking about the electronic voting systems, the touchscreen systems, that's further evidence that you know, we have a high tolerance for sloppy elections. But in the case of the marginalization of some of our voters, this was a perfect example because yes, there was thousands and thousands of African American votes were not counted. And their anger and their protest over that fact were completely overlooked. In fact, they were marginalized, and they were marginalized by the very party that they support. And that was the most disappointing thing of them all, that the Democratic Party didn't take them seriously enough. They didn't go to bat for these people who were, their votes are disregarded. And that's particularly upsetting. And so, to some degree, I don't ever like to think that I'm in agreement with George Bush, but to some degree, George Bush is right when he says that the Democratic Party has taken black votes for granted. So, it was particularly sad to discover that, the Democratic Party didn't support these, people whose votes were tossed out. And we saw it in Michael Moore's film when, the Congressional Black Caucus was protesting the approval of George Bush as the approval of the Electoral College vote. There were no senators willing to sign their protest.
Well, we're going to listen to a few minutes from the film on touchscreen voting, and then come back and speak with our wonderful filmmakers, Richard Perez and Joan Seckler.
In January 2001, a coalition of civil rights groups filed a lawsuit against Catherine Harris, the Florida Division of Elections and Database Technologies, alleging discrimination in the state's electoral system. The following year, the parties reached a settlement. As part of the settlement, Database Technologies identified voters who were wrongfully purged from the rolls, and the Florida Division of Elections agreed to restore those voters. Conservative estimates show that there were more than enough wrongfully purged voters to change the results of the presidential election. The United States Department of Justice investigated alleged irregularities in Florida during the 2000 presidential election. Justice Department officials found that three Florida counties failed to provide proper language assistance to voters. However, they dismissed all other alleged voting rights violations. While this chapter of American history came to a close, a new set of challenges to our democratic system emerged. In 2002, Congress passed federal legislation to replace outdated voting systems. Many states responded by purchasing fully computerized touchscreen voting machines.
The Help America Vote Act provides billions of dollars in federal funding to states that eliminate older voting systems, which are specifically described as the punch card and the lever voting machines.
People say there's been no fraud in touchscreen machines. Well, nobody really knows whether there's been fraud or not. There's absolutely no way to check.
In an electronic voting system, the people who have direct access to the votes are the programmers and also the support technicians. I called some programmers. I said, if you wanted to rig one of these machines, how would you do it? And they would tell me how you would go about it precisely. And these were people who had worked with the machines.
I walk up to the voting machine, and instead of touching the candidate that I want, I get four fingers out, and I put them in particular spots on the screen at the same time, and I enable a secret mode that nobody knows about, but I have a contact who was one of the programmers of this machine, and at that point, it changes the tally to make 90% of the votes be for the candidate I wanted.
In Georgia, some unexpected election results undermine voter confidence in the new technology.
Georgia made a bulk purchase of touchscreen unauditable machines. And Georgia had six upsets.
You had a Republican for the first time since the Civil War gain control of the governor's office, which totally flew in the face of the polls prior to that.
And so Georgia was really disturbing, and nobody could check what happened in Georgia because there was no way to recount anything or audit anything.
To complicate matters, voting machine manufacturers limit public oversight, claiming the vote counting software is their private property.
If you have a situation, as we do now, where there isn't a way of holding the private contractor accountable if their machines make certain kinds of mistakes, and furthermore, if you have the elections offices being intensely dependent upon the technology expertise of the vendors, I think you have a very bad situation.
And when anybody asks them, how does the machine work, can we see the design of the machine, can we see the code, the voting machine companies say, no, that's proprietary.
The owners and board members of companies that...
Well, if you want to hear more, you're just going to have to get a copy of this film. And Joan and Richard, I don't even know if you know, there's a new album that just came out, our engineer told us today. It's a rock and roll kind of punk metal band called Rock Against Bush. And they have clips from Unprecedented that are part of the album and the graphics and so on. So what a wonderful thing that this kind of material in such a palatable form is making its way into the mainstream. You must feel awfully good about that.
Well, yeah, thank you very much. In fact, we have been in contact with the punk rock groups that had put out Rock Against Bush Volume 1 and Volume 2. So we have clips of Unprecedented on both CDs. And we really encourage people to go to Amazon.com and get Unprecedented and show it in their living rooms, in their schools, in their churches to get out the vote for November.
Richard?
Yeah, the amazing thing about this is that it's so wonderful that Joan and I started this as a grassroots effort, and now it feels great that we're making a sort of a contribution to a movement that is demanding a fairer, more open democracy, a movement that includes young people, punk voters, a movement that includes media critics. And so it was for a while, in terms of activist politics, it was very easy to get discouraged because we are losing so many battles. But I think now there's a reason for optimism and to feel empowered because there's certainly a groundswell of activism and of victories. And so we want people to get optimistic and really go out there and do stuff.
And educate yourself about what happened 4 years ago by listening to and watching Unprecedented so we don't have the same situation in November. Go to the website of Unprecedented or go to Amazon.com, get Unprecedented, watch it, and get some friends over to watch it with you.
Yeah, and this month in New York, actually, we have in the New York City area, we have a whole series of screenings that people can find out about on our website. They'll be posted there. And if you can't make the screenings, Joan was saying, we encourage you to purchase the DVD from Amazon.com.
And the website is?
Unprecedented.org.
Unprecedented.org.
That's it.
Sounds good. I would be wrong because I'm a graphic artist as well. Who did the incredible cover work on Unprecedented?
He's a professional graphic artist and poster maker. His name is Daniel Mordukowicz, and he used to work for Hollywood. He did the poster for the Titanic and many other posters for Hollywood films, and it was his dedication to what we were doing that he did it for free.
And it's a gorgeous graphic of a gavel smashing the United States in the form of the outline of Florida. And it's just beautiful. And it depicts the reality of a very important film, Unprecedented, the Florida Election Debacle and Things to Come. And it is contemporized to show us things that might happen if we don't pay close attention. So
yeah,
we'd like
to think
of
the Hammers being the Republican Party.
Joan Sekla and Richard Ray Perez, we thank you very much for your efforts. Educate the public with such a splendid film and encourage everybody to get it. And this has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report. I'm Amy Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash. Tune in next week.